Okay, this paper, I'm Jean Caron, I'm from Laval University, where I'm a professor of soil physics. And the co-authors of this paper are Eliane Bergeron-Piette, a master's student, and Léon Parent, a fertility professor in our university. We'll talk today about water movement in isto soils. Isto soils in Quebec, they are widely spread across the land. But those which we're dealing with are located south of Montreal, just close to the New York state border. There is a surface there that is intensively cropped in different vegetables of about 20,000 hectares. And the reason for which their crop is because we can produce very high quality crops on these soils. Lettuce is grown on 30% of the surfaces and represent 75% of the Canadian production. But most of the crop is exported to the U.S., going on the Boston, New York market, and some on the Montreal market too. All surfaces are irrigated, whether they produce, they are under onion, celery, carrots, lettuce, or spinach. And irrigation may produce important losses by leaching, essentially nitrous and phosphorus, because even phosphorus, because these soils do have very little aluminum and iron in them, so the phosphorus is prone for leaching in them towards groundwater. And the amount are very significant. We're talking about anywhere between 30 to up to 250 kilos of nitrate per hectare per year, either in southern Ontario or in New York, according to different studies. In Florida, the amount are even larger, going up to 1,200 kilos per hectare, simply because the growth period is far longer. So proper estimation of water and soil fluxes associated with different management could help reducing the risk of leaching in these soils. So the study was part of a larger study in which we were comparing different irrigation treatments. But in these different irrigation treatments, we wanted also to compare four different estimation methods of water and soil fluxes in these soil. So the site, essentially, we conducted this study from 2008 and 2009 on three different sites. In which we had four completely randomized block designs comparing four different irrigation treatments in which different set points were used or ET estimate were used to monitor irrigation and decide on irrigation rate applications to be applied on different treatments. The experimental design for each site looked like that. We had the four different blocks. And we put lysimeters in four of the different treatment of only one single block because of instruments constraints. So the estimation of water and soil fluxes were only performed on one of the block as a preliminary study of method for evaluating leaching. The method one was really a direct assessment of the leaching in this soil. So we simply put four lysimeters in which we had an access well equipped with a drainage bucket from which we could collect the solute and the water coming from a pan, a stainless steel pan that was installed with a slight angle underneath a salt block. And the block was equipped with four different probes installed horizontally within the lysimeter, as well as three different tensiometers installed at different depths, in the profile, in a suction lysimeter with the porous tip very close to the stainless steel pan, so that we could collect the solid concentration very close to the exit of the solute. Here is a view of the installation process. We dig with a backhoe the trench, and in the trench with the backhoe, we simply pushed the stainless steel plate underneath the salt block, after which we simply dig a vertical surface on the one side of the lysimeter, and then we cover the this vertical surface with polyethylene film, which was glued also with bentonite in order to prevent any preferential infiltration of solute along the side of the lysimeter. And then we refilled the hole, and we did that side by side so that we could have a totally undisturbed lysimeter underneath the block, because all these infiltration and water movement processes are structure dependent. So it's important not to to disturb the soil there. We install vertical the horizontal probes at the time that on one side, at the time where we dig up on one side, and then finally in the last trench we put the access well. After which we refill the whole side and put a wooden frame over the surface that was collected to the polyethylene film surfaces. It was glued to be impermeable, and then it prevent either runoff or water from infiltrating into the lysimeter and then affecting the budget, the water budget in the surfaces. At the beginning of the experiments, we also applied bromide as a tracer. And with respect to a first presentation that was given, sorption isotherm showed that there was no sorption of bromide on these soils. The retardation factor there is basically one in these soil types. So it's a good tracer for this kind of study. The other two methods for evaluating solid fluxes were the second one was based on weather station data, from which we calculated evapotranspiration using a crop coefficient that was derived from previous year's studies for lettuce in on histo soils in the same area. And in the calculation here, rainfall and irrigation in the first method were taken into account, and minus the evapotranspirative demand to calculate the flux. In the method three, we simply make use of the change in soil water storage in order to correct the equation and get better estimation of the amount, but get better prediction of the amount of water that should be leaching out of the lysimeter. In the fourth method, we simply make use of the two bottom place tensiometers to calculate the hydraulic gradient. Knowing the hydraulic gradient and having the data for the unsaturated hydraulic conductivity of this soil at this depth, we could calculate the flux, the instantaneous flux from the Buckingham-Darcy's law. All calculation of a TP and fluxes were done on an hourly basis and were simply compared, summed up, to compare with a daily estimate of the water collected in the drainage bucket. For solute fluxes, we simply use the flux of water calculated from the three different methods, indirect methods, and combine it with a solute concentration obtained from the suction lysimeter, and we could compare that with the directly measured solute at the bottom of the pan, collected at the bottom of the pan. Okay, so here are some of the data, water fluxes in millimeter per day as function of time. So in magenta gray here, this is the real data, real leaching coming out of the lysimeter. So basically you can see nothing. There was no leaching during that period of time. And despite this, with two method two and method three, we could, in method two, the weather data predicted that we should observe some leaching in many of the events, and the prediction that is in green, in yellow, was very close to the rainfall or the irrigation event, simply because this is one of the main variables that is measured with the weather station data. The very positive side is that there was very little leaching during the cropping, despite the fact that you have different irrigation management, which was very positive for growers. And method three, in which we corrected for change in water storage, there was very little improvement. Data are now in green, and this makes very little change. Still, we're predicting that there is leaching there, despite there is no observed leaching. The fourth method agreed well in that sense, that they did not predict any leaching there. Okay, so what may have occurred there in terms of water movement? When we look at the water content probes that were located at the deeper horizon in profile, despite the fact that we were under unsaturated conditions, there were very little change in water content during the rainfall event. Meanwhile, there were very pronounced change in tension. So it might be due to the fact that there is less sensitivity with water content probes, so that the correction does not take into account the change in storage that should adequately correct our weather data to better estimate potential leaching. So when we look at the water desorption curve on the three sites, what we can see is basically they are hysteretic first and strongly hysteretic. But secondly, they are relatively flat. That is, there is very little change in water content with large changes in water potential. So therefore, water content is lacking sensitivity with that respect. So okay, fine, we can conclude maybe there is better prediction of leaching using tensiometer data. Okay, so here are the data from another site in which we had leaching on two events, only two events for the overall cropping season, so very very little leaching here. The method 2 and method 3 based on ETP, even with correction for storage, did predict that we should have leaching most of the time, but the data using Buckingham Darcy also predicted that we should have fluxes arcing in the soil, while we did detect very little of them. So what are the potential explanation for that? Well, maybe there is non-Darcy flow in these soils. And typically in estuary soils, they're made of 97% organic matter. So in there, what we can see is there is a top surface horizon, the OHP, followed by a OH horizon, which is highly humified, very fine. There is a lot of very fine fibers in there. And underneath, there is a fibric horizon, which may create a structure discontinuity. And when we look at the robbed fiber test, which is the test used in these soil characterization, we can see that there is a significant difference in the proportion of robbed fibers between the amount found in the top surface and the amount found below the surface. And a following rainfall event, the typical distribution pattern that we can observe is really a zone of accumulation here at the bottom of the OH horizon, and then less water, a dry appearance in the OF horizon with some water accumulation at the bottom. So it's typical. It's a typical view of fingering flow in there. And fingering may be explained by the fact that this discontinuity here results in the very fibric nature of the OF horizon results in a very high unsaturated hydraulic conductivity in the bottom horizon, which may then create macropore flow. So we should have bimodal distribution of solute if it is the case. So at the beginning of the experiment, we had applied bromide at the top surface. So what we could observe at the end of the crop growth was a typical bimodal distribution in which we could detect small but significant amount of bromide in the lower zone of the profile. So in conclusions, there was very little leaching measured during the lettuce growing cycle on all three sites, but all three indirect methods, method 2, 3, and 4, led to overestimation of the observed leaching. And leaching should be measured directly with such soils with a panisimeter. Preferential flow, as we've seen, explained the poor performances of indirect methods, and structural discontinuity appears the dominant mechanisms explaining it. So I'd like to acknowledge the financial contribution of ANSERC for funding this project, as well as the technical help of four different research assistants and different summer students through both years. Thank you very much.
Yes. We have a moment for a question or two if somebody has some questions.
Yes. You have shown that overestimation of that indirect method 4, right?
Right.
And you calculated that one based on the Darcy-Buckingham equation. My question is, how did you evaluate the unsaturated part?
How did we measure it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where we are different. No, no, we measured it. It was measured on cores for the same depth that we tried to predict. So it was really measured on site, but on adjacent location. I mean, just by the lesimeter we were digging. So it was very close by at the same typical depth.
And for the methods tool, you use ET data.
Yes.
Which equation you use?
Well, Penman-Monteith publication, well, this is FAO publication 56. And with the crop coefficient was derived in the previous years for the same crop and the same soil. So normally we should be accurate there. Should not be that far.
Another thing I was wondering, you have the, you know, the Campbell probe for water measurement that is deep here.
Yes.
Well,
these were capacitive probes, CS6415.
That you showed the water content data.
Right. Right.
What might be the reason for that?
Oh, it's just because these are organic soils, and the CS615 had to be calibrated for that specific soil texture. Organic soils do behave very differently. Yes, calibrated. No, no, calibrated against weighted containers, against volumetric water content.
All right. With that, we'll stop. But if you have questions. Maybe save those until the end of the session. Thank you.